A President's Power. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with Instant Illumination, A President's Power. A President's Power is concentration. And, of course, your power and my power is concentration, too. But a president is able to do the vast variety of things that he does because of concentration. Now, a magical thing about a president, and he is the only person on the face of the earth who can do this, a magical thing about a president is that no matter what he faces, he must make a decision about it because it comes under the bailiwick of his requirements and his expertise. And so, they ask him about abortion. He's got to come up with an answer. They ask him about the immigrants, illegal immigrants. He's got to come up with an answer. They ask him about the financial situation and the banks that are getting too big or the banks that are lending improperly. He's got to come up with an answer. Now, he has advisors, and his advisors advise him about the current activities that are going on in the world, the current things that are coming to their attention and his attention, and they give him the latest total information that they can give him. But if you say to a mother, okay, now your child has done this terrible thing, and your child has done this and that, and your child has got to have a spanking and got to have some tending to. He's got to be reminded he can't do that. And so you have to come up with a decision on that. And I mean, you're not really aware of all the information because you didn't ask them for more details. You didn't want them. And you didn't, you're not acquainted with all of the things that are happening because it's just not important to you. Now, if you're the mother and you got to make a decision on it, you'd think you'd want all the information you could get. Well, the mother, being a wise mother, turns to the child and says, son, what do you think we should do about this? People say that you're doing that. Now, whether you do it or not, I'm not concerned. But what do you think we should do about it? Do you think that's the right thing to do for any child to do, whether it's you or anybody else? No. Then, if it's you, would you stop doing it? It's not me, but if it were me, I would stop doing it. Well, now, why do these people think that you did it? I don't really know. Probably because I'm the leader of all the activities that go on around here, and I get blamed for everything. But why do you think that people think you did it? And so he says, I really sincerely don't know. And she says, well, I have told you many times, you are known by the people you associate with. And if you're going to associate with people who do things that are bad, whether you're there or not, who do things that are bad, and then you get a name for being with them and for being in that crowd. Now, is that what you want? And the kid says, well, they don't do bad things around me. Well, that's not the point. Are there so few children in this world that you have to choose the ones that are getting into trouble all the time? Can you choose some of the children that are fun or that are, more harmonious? Now, the mother is being a psychologist, she's being a mother, she's being a sociologist, she's being many other things, but she's being, first of all, a parent of her family. And no matter what circumstances come up in that family, she has to address it. If this family, if the girls are going around with boys that are too loose, she has to be careful. She has to tell the girls, now, what are your values, you know? She cannot threaten them because then they'll say, I'll do what I want to do, you know. Because, you know, she knows that that's the hormones of teenagers and she doesn't want to cause them to do something that they wouldn't normally do. And she doesn't want to be the cause of something negative. So, the mother has to really know all this stuff. She has to really know the psychology of it. Now, I'm not asking you to, everything I say in my lectures basically is rhetorical. And I ask you questions, but I don't expect you to give me answers. But now, what would the mother do if she were faced with any of these circumstances? Would she immediately confront the children, the child? Or would she first, if for just an instant, would she first go within and say, I know that I know that I know, I know what is the right thing to do. I know how to handle this situation harmoniously and beautifully, and I am guided by my inner judgment. And then go and do it. Now, she doesn't have to do that every time. First couple of hundred times, she got to do that, you know. But after a while, you do it intuitively and instantly. So that's how the mother works with the children. That's how a father works with the children. That's how a boss works with his employees. Because all the employees have different ways of doing things and different modus operandi for accomplishing the simple goals that he asks them to do. That's how politicians work. Truly sincere politicians. And I would say that majority of our politicians are sincere. So, maybe all of them. How would a president handle that power? Now, the president has to know how to handle international relationships. He has to know how to be an ambassador. He has to know how to give out billions of dollars. Billions of dollars, you know. Millions of dollars. It's just like nothing that he can hand these out to these other countries that are in need and peoples who are in need. And he can give authority for a certain company to get a large loan so that it can prove itself that it's going to handle it well, like Chrysler. He can do all of these things. Now, where does he get the wisdom to do that? I mean, he's not omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent, or is he? You see, he doesn't think of himself as being omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He does what? He concentrates on one thing at a time. You come to me and you say, Herb, what are we going to do about the flooding in the basement? And you come and you say, what are we going to do about the roof leaking? And you come and, what are we going to do about the pipes that are frozen and busted? And, you know, there's three different things. And I say, all right. Now, you ask first, the flooding in the basement is because the pipes are busted and the roof is leaking. So it's all sort of one after the other after the other. Well, the first thing that I would suggest that we do, let's turn off the water. So we're not going to have the busted pipes pouring the water into the basement. Well, now that's a simple thing to do. Turn it off. And I say, all right, how do you turn it off? I don't know. You go turn it off. Find out where the water comes in from the city main or from the well, and then turn off the pump and screw the pipe closed so the water does not come into the house. But that's for the whole house. That's for everything. That's right. That's right. Until you take care of these things, you turn it off at the source. Okay. Now, the rain's still coming down, and it's coming right through the roof. Well, we can put a tarp over the roof. We can cover it. Or we can get up there with our hammer and nails and put a new roof on right in the middle of the rainstorm, which is unusual. But that can be done, too. Many ways that it can be handled. Now, I would say that first, you turn off the water. Now, why is that such an intelligent thing? Because it's pouring in to the basement. And you know how to handle that quite easily. Okay, second, you could call the roofer, but they're not going to come out in the rainstorm. They might come out and put a tarp over it for you and, you know, protect your roof. But the thing is, they're not going to put a new roof on in the rainstorm. But all you have to do is say to your handyman, say, put something on top of that roof, will you? And he says, sure. So he runs down to the hardware store, and he buys a tarp or two or three, and he puts it across the roof, and the rain stops coming through the roof. Well, isn't that something? So now, we get to Ingeborg, and we get to her busted pipes. And so we say, okay, now how can we handle that? How can we handle that? Well, we handle that by going down, finding out where they're busted and why they're busted in the first place. Maybe they're frozen, you know. And when we find out why they're busted, then we take the connection closest to the one that's busted and we unscrew it. And we measure that to the length of the bust, wherever it is, and go in the garage and get a new piece of pipe, or go to the hardware store and get a new piece of pipe, same time we get the canvas, you know. And then we bring it home, and we screw the pipe on, and then we can turn the water back on again. And then we have water in the house. Now, just a minute! Cool it, calm down, relax. One thing at a time. Now, I know within me, because I am the greatest builder in the world and the greatest plumber in the world and the greatest roofer in the world, I know exactly what to do. I know exactly what to do. Or, I have no idea what to do. I'm going to look at the problem and solve each one step by step. Now, the first one is the one that is squirting water in real fast. There must be a way to shut that off. So you should turn it off. The next one is water coming through the roof, messing up the whole house. Well, then you get the tarp and you figure out how you can do that. Hardware store, John Taylor, my roof is leaking all over the place. What can I do? And John Taylor says, well, it is my considered opinion that at this moment the best thing to do would be put a tarp over it. And we happen to have tarps just for that purpose. Now, you measure how big your roof is and then come in and pick up the tarps that you want. And we have them here for sale. And so you do that. And then you say, by the way, we need a piece of pipe this length too. And yes, we have that too. And so you pick it up and you do it. Now, in no more than 20 minutes, you've got the roof covered, you've got the new pipe installed, and then you take your sub pump and you do what? You pump out the basement. You pump out all the water that got in down below and have it be dry again. Now, then you turn the heater on in the house so that it'll heat up the inside of the house and dry off all of the water that's come through the walls and the ceiling and so forth, and little by little. But you see, these are all, my God, you got to be a plumber, you got to be a carpenter, you got to be a roofer, you got to be a genius like John Taylor, you know, at East County Lumber. But the thing is, are you each of those things? Well, whether you know it or not, you are. Do you know what your first genius aspect would have been? Call John Taylor and say, my genius, here's the situation, what do I do? And she'd say, dot, 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 dot. And then you would do it. And or you could know within yourself what to do. Now, you see, what makes the president so powerful is he has good advisors, and then he does not follow their advice. If he followed the advice of his advisors, each one thinks that their particular area is the most important, they would expect him instantly to act upon their information. So he has to say thank you and dismiss them.
That's quite something.
Because he's not dealing with just one thing, he's dealing with many things.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as he dismisses them all, the next set of advisors come in and they advise him about other things like the war and the challenges that are going on, the terrorists and other things, and so they come in with their challenges, and others come in with their challenges, all day long. So it would be a most amazing person to be intellectually on top of all these things. But he is not intellectually on top of these things. He is intuitively on top of these things. He listens within. You and I have that same ability. He concentrates on one thing at a time. and he comes to a solution. And if you cannot come to a solution, you just set it aside and wait for later and let it percolate a little bit. Because if the solution isn't instantly there, set it aside. Because then you put it on the inner burner inside of you, and it comes forth with a perfect answer for you. Now, these are things that all of us can do. All of us can make our life a fantastic experience if we want to. But do we do it? No. We worry. We worry. Now, Ingeborg came in here, and she heard us saying that we gave some special milk treatment to the kitten, and it helped her to balance herself. And she says, well, will you do it for my cat too? Will you do it for my cat too? And the answer is, of course, yes. But the thing is, she was worried. You see, in the first place, that's not going to help her cat. What's going to help her cat is for her to kill the mother. That's herself. She's in there worrying over that cat like an old mother. An old mother hen. Oh, is he all right? Is he eating? He's getting silly. I gave you a demonstration, but none of you paid much attention to it, with Blondie. And Blondie went down for the count. And she was just about dead. And she wouldn't drink, she wouldn't eat, she wouldn't do anything. And I just treated her. I'm telling you now after the fact. And so I treated her, and I said, you're whole and perfect. I put my hands on her. I blessed her with my energy, with my love. And I said, you're whole and perfect. You're fantastic. And then I put her away. And then I gave her some drops of water in her mouth because I felt the water would be beneficial to her. I just felt this way. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe I should have let Mother Nature handle it, telling her not to drink or not to eat. But she sat there, did not eat, did not drink, did not do anything for 2 days, wasn't it? Something like that. And so during those couple of days, she just was sort of out of it. But she sat there like a sphinx with her head held up and her eyes closed. And I just blessed her, and I blessed her. Then Sylvia comes along with some milk to give her an injection with that. And so we gave her a shot of this milk stuff. And she seemed to perk up a little bit, and along with the water. And so then this morning, I looked in her nest, and she was sitting there, wide awake like the rest of them. And I reached in to bring her out by the scruff of the neck, you know, and pulled her out and brought her out. And I said, well, how are you doing today? And I took her legs, and I pulled them, and I pulled her legs, and I strengthened herself up, and whatever was out of order popped back in order again, of course. And so then she looked at me, and I gave her a couple drops of water, and I tried to give her some food. I got this real nice canned food, thinking that, you know, it's going to be good, and I put a little tiny dish, and I put the dish under the steaming hot water for my coffee, and got the dish hot. Then I took it out of the refrigerator, and I put this food in there, so, and I mushed it around so it would be warm. And I gave it to her, and she just turned up her nose at it. Her sisters didn't. They instantly went in and cleaned it up when she didn't take it. But then she started eating the hard kibbles, you know, that the cats eat. She didn't even eat the soft ones, which were right next to them, you know. She was eating the hard ones, and she was sitting there, numbing away. And I thought, you're okay, you know. Now, I said to the cat, oh, you're whole and perfect. You want to live? Good. You want to die? Good. But as far as I'm concerned, you're whole and perfect. You're fantastic, you know. I love you. I bless you. You're whole and perfect. And I let him alone. I did the proper things for him, feeding her and stuff. And I'd set her in the potty box, and then she'd do her duty, and with all the water I gave her, and then she'd jump out of the potty box and go back into her house, you know. And she could move around, and she was no slouch. Then this morning she got out, and she walked all over the house, you know. And the other cats came roaring at her, bouncing off the top of her head and bouncing off her back and her body. And while she was laying in her nest, the other cats would come in and lay next to her, and then they'd punch her, and they'd stand on top of her body, and they treated her just like she was in perfect condition, and of course she was. But if we're going to worry our head, if the president were to worry over what's going to happen, over how things are going to happen, well, you have a problem. But he went in there, and he says, this is a solution that came to my consciousness. But that's not intelligence, that's not wise. Oh, I'm about to do many unwise things that'll prove to be intelligent in the long run, because I don't listen to the short run. I believe it can work. And the president's power is in his ability to concentrate on whatever things he's doing at a time, one at a time. And in his concentration, he listens within intuitively and follows the guidance of the divine within him. Now, this is what all of us can do too, if we want to. But you can go to a metaphysical school, you can be a monk, you can do all these different things, and you can still be an old lady. Even if you're a man, you can be an old lady. Worry, worry, worry your head off. Worry, worry, worry. I tell you sometimes, I don't recommend watching violent movies and things like that. But if you see a movie that has violence in it, discard it. Look for the silver lining. Look for the good in the movie. Look for the value of the people, how some people stand up for principle, even in the most difficult circumstances. Like Anne Frank, who wrote her book about being a Jewish girl in Germany during the war. Which is a very difficult time. Now, can you do that? Can you be a Pollyanna and look for the good on everything all the time? Well, if you're going to only look at Disney pictures and happiness pictures, you will not build up the ability to not pay attention to things that are not of importance to you. And don't pay attention to them. Don't pay attention to the anger and the unhappiness. Pay attention only to how are some people responding to it? Are they responding with love? Are they responding being untouched by it? Now the president, in all of his charisma, and all of his genius, and all of his goodness, people throw brickbats at him. People are constantly trying to pick on him. They want to knock him off his pedestal. And he doesn't even hear that. If there's some truth to it, he listens, but he doesn't even hear it. He knows why they're doing it. He knows why these things are happening. Just like Clinton, they wanted to destroy him. They wanted to get him out of office because they couldn't control him. And so they made a bunch of statements about him that he couldn't refute. And so even there, the parties didn't win because the people said, no, we don't agree with impeachment. We don't agree with that. And if the people had stopped and listened to Nixon at the time that he was having his to-do with the government, the people could have said, that's not acceptable. And you cannot do that. And then slap his hand and tell him, don't do it. They don't impeach him for doing some things like that. Now, because there's a big roundelay of activity going on there, I'm quite sure that there was... If the truth were known, and I know it, if the truth were known, we would find that there were a number of anti-Nixonites who went in and created a bunch of background scenarios that made it appear that this was all what Nixon was doing. Now, he was a part of it, but he was not a major part of it. And they were saying that he was doing all these bad things, and that it was him who did these things. Well, Johnson did these things just as much as anybody else, and Roosevelt did these things just as much as anybody else, and all these different presidents and people use bad judgment occasionally. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Nixon was one of our outstanding presidents. He was a president who had one of our greatest diplomats, and he brought a peaceful coalition with China that we had never known before, and many other things. Now, you, if you're not going to watch movies that are a little violent sometimes and discard the violence and find the good in the movie, come away with the good. But you can't do it because you're too stupid. Because you, I say to you, well, what was the movie about? Oh, shooting and killing and... No, it wasn't. The movie was about this mother and her children, and they were moving across the country, and her children were caused to go into the war. They're drafted into the war. And the mother raised the children and surrounded them with a pure white light of love, and they came home. Oh, yeah, that was there too. But, oh, the violence, oh, the violence. It was so great. It was so, by great meaning so large, so much that it took our attention. That's true. That's what it was meant to do. There's your cat walking across the way out there. If you don't want to look out there, Ingeborg, you won't see it. But I was just telling Ingeborg that her cat was walking across the driveway. And Ingeborg sitting here with her eyes closed, meditating on the things that I'm saying, you know, to them. They're by the door. Okay, now, you see, you look at the violence. You look at the cats having a difficult time or something. And instead of that, go out there and look at them with love and say, I see my cats how? Whole and perfect, you know. I see my cats whole and perfect. I see them healthy and strong. I see them vital, dynamic, alive. And, hey, cool. And a little bit of milk won't hurt them, you know. A little bit of special treatment won't hurt them. But if you're going to think that you don't have the authority to do that, Ingeborg, then you have not got the authority to be their mother. Because if you're going to be their mother or in charge of them, you have to have the authority to decide what you want them to have to eat and so forth. You understand? And this is what the president does. The president is given authority. And he can say, well, Sylvia told me to do this, Ellen told me, or Ingeborg told me to do this, you know, and that's why I'm doing it, you know, and it turned out bad, you know. And, well, hey, Mr. President, you did it. You followed their authority. You followed it. You didn't intuitively make the decision for yourself, you see? And you got to intuitively make the decision on all things in life for yourself. Because you are number one, and you're the only one in this world that disturbs anything or anybody or anywhere. So remember that now. Now, what are you going to give your pets as soon as breakfast is over? You're going to give them a little bit of yogurt, huh? How about that? You're going to give them a little milk to sort of boost them up a little bit. They seem to be needing a little bit of... Or maybe if you were a really good mother, like a mother cat would be, you'd go out and catch a couple of mice and give it to them, you know. And, you know, really help their protein and their diet. But no, you don't. I don't want to kill a mouse. Hey, mice are here to be killed. Or they're not here. You say, if you don't want to kill mice, say, our property is clear of all mice. All mice go and play wherever they want, but not in our property, right?
Right.
Can you handle that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you see, that's the way it works. Now, they like that door, don't they?
They are drinking out of Rex's water.
Oh, they haven't got to the door yet. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, that's where the president's power is. That's what your power is. Your power is your intuition. Are you ready to expedite it and use it? If you are, then do it by proving it. Have a lovely morning and know that the president's power is your power, the power of concentration through introspection. Mm-hmm. Have a nice morning and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.